This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the, let's call it, end of the week edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Coming to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball, and as always brought to you by our good friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. My man and yours, Randy Green, standing by, ready to take care of any issue you may have, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial. The construction team, heating and cooling team, and the electric team are ready to roll. I appreciate Randy and his continued support of our show. Looking forward to going to some Cardinal games with him this year. If you knew Randy at all, and for those of you that do, you can attest to what I've always said. He's a man of his word and just a tremendous human being. So get him on your side early in the process and let him help you with your project. That's Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, as I open the show and I say to you the end of the week edition, a lot of you are aware that if you follow, we've talked a lot about lineupmedia.fm and how much we appreciate their support and how proud we are to be a part of their network and media group. The great part here is brand new, beautiful studios being built. We're going to have multiple studios along with a soundstage and just the ability to do so many more things here and grow. And, we're marrying up with all kinds of different podcasts to do some things with Yo Radio. Well, with that comes some growing pain. So I, for this week, have been in a makeshift studio with nice equipment, but kind of hooked up here and there into different things. And we had some recording problems. Did a show, did Bow Ties and Bullshit on Wednesday, as we normally did, only to find out that it recorded me, but not my cohorts. So that wouldn't have made any sense. And then was fortunate enough to do the Blues NHL podcast yesterday, as I do, where we do the live edition with Tony Twist every year, which is always a hoot. So if you're a Blues fan at all, I suggest you go to bluesnhlpodcast.com and check out the episode that we do with Tony Twist every year as he leaves. It's like no holds barred when it comes to Tony Twist. I mean, he leaves it all out there. It's great. It's a lot of fun. So I advise you check it out. So we didn't do a show yesterday. We'll be back next week, of course. So Brendan Schaefer calls me and says, hey, you know, I have something that records my audio when I talk to you. So I had a great conversation with him. So I thought at the bare minimum, I could put out the conversation I had with Brendan about our topic as we talk about the bench and where we see the Cardinals right now and the roster construction, because that's a hot topic. Obviously, we're all excited about Paul Goldschmidt and his extension. I think it's the right call. I think locking him up is definitely something that needed to be done. If you look across baseball, a lot of the better players are getting locked up. I don't know where that middle of the order bat was going to come from down the road. So I think it was definitely the good call. Did we get a discount? I don't know. Maybe. It depends on how you look at it, right? So I look at it this way. He got a lot of money. We got our guy. I'm happy, and as long as he's happy and his family are happy and the fans are happy and the ownership group's happy, I don't understand why anybody would be unhappy. So let's just say that as far as I'm concerned, the Paul Goldschmidt is a home run, and no pun intended, although I'll take 30-plus home runs from him and never look back. So congratulations to the Cardinals for getting their guy. I definitely think it makes that trade, which I already thought was a great trade, I think it makes it an even greater trade. And congratulations to the Cardinals. Now, if we could just fix a few more of the what I would call roster issues. Roster. I know you guys like it when I say roster. I know it's roster, but I love roster. So, you know, I talked a little bit about some of that stuff with Brendan Schaefer. We're going to get to that here in just a second. Before we do, though, my man Will Kendall, a special shout out to my intern here at Two Birds on a Bat, and he's been doubling his intern, doing some intern work for Blues NHL podcast as well. He was tasked with attaching the 50 extra entries for everybody that downloaded Yo Radio to their entry. He had to do like a lot of back channel stuff based on what people did through the little plug-in website that we had that tracked the contest. So he had to get back in there, check everybody's social media accounts, see who sent us pictures of the Yo Radio. We had people send it to us through Twitter, some people through Instagram, some people through the website, and some people through Facebook. So he's been working long and hard at it, and we accounted for every picture that we received, and everybody got their 50 entries in the back office as we shut the thing down. So I know some of you have sent me things. They're like, hey, I didn't see my 50. Well, it won't show on that because that's a plug-in. We had to do it in our thing that we did here. So everybody got them, and we had the wonderful, and we thank them so much for doing this. The people from Yo Radio that were very very gracious in providing us with opening day tickets hit the little button there and came up on the computer was, and I hope I get this right. I want to make sure. I have the name. The name is Jack Russell, and his Twitter handle is where we'll contact him first, and with his email is MojoKiss19. So that's at MojoKiss19. A different name there, but the one he registered with was Jack Russell, so I'll go with that. I mean, this maybe could be his son, it looks like, or something. But we will go with Jack Russell at MojoKiss19. Congratulations. You will be going to opening day with us here at Two Birds on a Bat. We will be delivering your tickets to you as long as you can do so. We'll be heading over there early during the day. Benji Molina will hand deliver the tickets to you. You're welcome to take some pictures with Benji, get something signed, whatever you want to do. He'll be providing you with a note to get off of school or work, depending on what you do. Give that to your boss or teacher at your own peril. But it's going to be a great time. We're glad that you'll be able to join us. That's two tickets, so you'll be able to bring somebody with you. And we're excited about meeting you and having you join us for opening day. So congratulations one more time to Jack Russell. Twitter handle at MojoKiss19. He had quite a few entries, and we want to thank him for doing that. He had, it looks like, what did he have? Dun, dun, dun. He had 353 entries. So congratulations. He must have shared it a lot. And, you know, I told people all the time, if you shared it all the time and people clicked on what you shared and then they registered, you got more entries. And that's kind of how it worked. So he had a bunch. He did not have the most. There's a few guys on here that had 400 and 500 entries. And we appreciate all of you for really promoting the contest and in our sites and social media outlets. So thank you so much. That's the first of many contests that we'll be doing throughout the season, so please stay tuned as the next contest. Once we get past opening day and Benji kind of gets locked in over at the stadium and we kind of get access to some more, you know, maybe some autograph memorabilia and things like that, we'll have some fun and get our listeners involved. But for today's show, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road, thank you for your continued support. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. They do provide some delivery to certain zip codes. Box lunches, if you need those, you can go ahead and get those ordered at any time, and they can get them taken care of for you. And if you have an event that you need catered, they can take care of you on that as well. Looking forward to Benji getting in town for opening day so we can get over and do our yearly opening day meal at Adam's Smokehouse. So, Mike, don't you worry. In about a week, week and a half, we will be coming. So that's Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. One more time, our friends at, you know, listen, I can't thank Gators Baseball Academy enough for them guys jumping on board as well. Their four-pillar system is second to none, located in Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for next-level training for your son or daughter when it comes to baseball or softball, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, so here's my interview with Brendan Schaefer. I'll let you guys listen to the conversation and get your weekly fix. Congratulations to the Cardinals and Paul Goldschmidt. We did talk about what we would do with the bench and the roster a little bit. There have been a few moves made. As of this moment, to my knowledge, there are three bench positions left. Bullpen's done, three bench positions left. It looks like, obviously, if Jed Gerkel's healthy, he would be on the bench, and then the last spot would come down to Jaro Munoz or Drew Robinson. We talk about that on the recording that we did on Wednesday. We shall see where that leads. I hope you guys enjoy this. This is me and my man, Brendan Schaefer.
What do you say, Brendan?
Hey, how's it going today, Jim?
Doing good. We changed the lineup today. I was saying that Mose has shown a little more punch in his bat lately, so we moved him into the slugging spot, and we put you up here. You've been handling the bat lately really well, so we thought we'd put you in the two slot, which is a position that I think the Cardinals are desperately going to have to figure out as well. So, but that's a conversation for another day. Today, my question to you is, and the panel, and we had a great conversation with Kyle before you, and I think he set the table like a leadoff hitter should do for you, is do we have to have a left-handed bat off the bench based on what we've seen from this current group of Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, I know that was a big topic of conversation in the offseason for the Cardinals. They were looking for a left-handed bat right behind really left-handed reliever and middle of the order impact bat. They found those two things, and then we weren't really sure that they'd found the lefty bat they were looking for. And for part of that reason is because of the fact that they had so much depth hitting from the right side that was going to factor into the bench, and they didn't trade any of it away kind of the way that we thought they would. Of course, the Drew Robinson trade happened for Patrick Wisdom. Wisdom probably wasn't going to factor into that opening day bench quite as much as some of these other guys. And so you had this situation of, okay, Drew Robinson hasn't shown any major league success in his career. Is this the guy they were really looking for that they were talking about, or is it just a move for depth and they'll give him a shot at it? Of course, he hasn't done a whole lot offensively with his opportunities in spring training, Drew Robinson. Really nobody has, save for a couple of guys. And so didn't necessarily take that job and run with it, maybe the way the Cardinals would have liked to have seen. That's kind of the way I chalked it up, that I don't think the Cardinals feel it's 100% necessary to have that lefty bat, but would they have liked to have had that? Would they have liked to have seen somebody show that there obviously could be that guy? I think so, but because that really hasn't been the case, I think they're still kind of in limbo. Now, of course, there's the Jed Gerkel situation where he may not be ready for opening day, and that may allow Robinson to slide into the opening day roster and give him a chance to run with it for the first couple of weeks in April, and maybe if he does that, he sticks around. But yeah, I don't think it's necessary, but I think they'd like to have that, especially the way they talked in the offseason.
Well, I told Kyle this too. When they signed Drew Robinson, it was an underwhelming signing for me. At the time, I was told I was overreacting because it was so early, and they had made such an overture about how they wanted a left-handed bat that I think some fans were like, there's no way this is that left-handed bat. And I even said at the time, I hope you're right, right? Well, I was not wrong. I didn't want to be right, but this did not answer one bell for me. It didn't answer a bell for me at the time, which brings me really to the reality of it is this. Do I have to have a left-handed batter off the bench? I don't have to have one. I would love to have one if he rakes right-handed pitching, but how many of those guys are out there? So let's be honest with ourselves. Why wouldn't you just want a guy that can flat-out hit? So I don't understand, like, what the infatuation would be with it. And in no way, shape, or form can you convince me that he belongs on this 25-man roster coming out of spring training. So for all simpleness of this conversation, he's just not good enough to be on this team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good for us to get into then what that bench would look like. We could kind of go down the list and name what we think and try to parse this out. But the way I think of it is last season, left-handed bat off the bench, the Cardinals had Greg Garcia. And you look at Greg Garcia's numbers last season, there was no reason for him to, as he often was, be the first pinch hitter off the bench against a right-handed pitcher in a contested game situation. I'll look at his slash line for you, 221, 309, 304. He slugged 304 last year. in 208 plate appearances. That really wasn't doing a whole lot for the Cardinals last year. So what did they do? They let him go. They let him walk, and San Diego Padres picked him up. So why the need to replace Greg Garcia with a batter who may not give you a whole lot more at the plate? I would agree. That wouldn't make any sense. The one thing that Drew Robinson could have that Garcia really did not ever exhibit is some power. He's shown it in the minor leagues. Could he show it in the major leagues? I think spring was really an opportunity for Robinson to prove that. He really didn't do that and has gotten more opportunity than most in these spring games and just didn't really do a whole lot with it. And so you wonder if that's going to translate at any point to the major leagues. Positional flexibility is nice, but they also have that in Jairo Munoz. They have that on the infield in Jerko when he gets healthy. They have that across the outfield with several of the guys. And really, you know, it's probably not going to factor in for opening day, but when you look at some of the other minor leaguers like Tommy Edman that made an impression in spring, would not those guys potentially give you a little bit more thump off a major league bench than what Robinson's shown? Like, it's not impossible. And I don't like about Robinson the strikeout rate that he's shown not only through his major league career opportunities, which have been few and far between in defense of him, but even in the minor leagues, the strikeout rate is just, I mean, it's above Harrison Bader. I believe it's above Tyler O'Neill. Like, it's not something that necessarily you want to see on your major league bench if he's not also giving you the power to go along with it. So I understand. Yeah. I understand that point. And I think the comparison I drew, Greg Garcia, look, if you're not getting a good hitter that's going to mash righties off your bench, why bother carrying what hand he bats with? I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah. I'll put you on the hot seat, you know, St. Louis Cardinals, opening weekend. And, you know, Knebel was, takes the hill for the Brewers, and we're down a run and got a runner on base, and there sits, I'll give you three options. I mean, I'm going to give you three options sitting there on your bench. You've got, you know, Knebel, who's a dominant right-handed reliever, right? You've got Jose Martinez, you've got Jairo Munoz, and you've got Drew Robinson sitting on your bench. You're going to have to convince me that Drew Robinson's not your third best choice.
Yeah, I think Jose is far and away my number one in that spot, just because I think he takes good at-bats off the bench. But
so does Munoz. I mean, listen, he takes great at-bats across the board.
Munoz,
so,
yeah, I mean, it's like, and I've said this before, maybe. I've got to talk myself into giving Munoz a little more credit because for whatever reason, when I watched him at the beginning of last year, I was just like, I don't really understand why they're giving this guy so much opportunity. But he went on to prove that he was a fine player, and I think absolutely perfect for kind of the bench role that I think he can serve on this team. So I would agree with you, though. Of what they've shown so far, I would rank him Martinez, Munoz, and certainly Robinson would be probably a distant third at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this half goes into the extension of the conversation last week. Bringing a guy north with the team just because he bats left-handed or picks up a baseball and throws it left-handed is not a good excuse, in my opinion. I mean, I need somebody that can do the job. And when you're talking about a team that is only going to have four bench bats and one of those being a backup catcher, I don't know how you take one of the other three spots and say to Jairo Munoz or Tyler O'Neill, sorry, but you're going down. Because that's what you're looking at if you do it, right?
Okay, like, so what are we talking here? How many pitchers are they going to carry? Let's start back, work backwards.
They're going to carry the extra pitcher.
I don't agree. I think they'll have 12. They'll have 12 to start the year. So you're talking about five people on the bench is what I predict.
Does their schedule show that would work for them?
I mean, they've got off days, but you five starting pitchers, seven in the bullpen, I think is what we're going to see.
Man, they love eight in the bullpen.
They do, but I think the way they've been talking the last couple of weeks, really last 3 weeks or so, I think it's very possible that they go ahead and start that way, unless it's a deal because the Cecil move helps to that end, because you didn't want him on the roster and now you won't have to. He's on IL, so they can put that problem off till June or, you know, May, and then release him then is what's ultimately going to probably happen. But they can look at some of these other guys. Like, I don't know what Gregerson's status is. Probably won't be ready for the season, I wouldn't think. Maybe I haven't been following him too closely in the spring, but I would think he's on IL as well. So that helps as well. That helps just from a perspective of you're trying to keep all your options available for depth later in the season, which I get. But if Cecil and Gregerson aren't healthy and aren't any good, then what value do they have as depth for your organization? But that's fine. They're going to be around because they'll be on IL, so you can save them that way. John Gant is the one who he's out of options. You're going to need to either make a decision on him joining the bullpen, joining the rotation, or getting rid of him. I don't think they're going to get rid of him, so we can look at him and say probably my guess is that he'll be in the bullpen. Could end up getting that fifth starting spot. I would like to see Hudson get that. He's far and away been the best guy. We talked about that last week. Okay, so now you're looking at who else is there? Mike Myers, I believe, is out of options, so that's the one that's interesting. Wouldn't be super shocked to see him either make the roster or see him traded in a Sam Tuivasa style where they just try to get something for him for a younger player that's not on the 40-man. But he may be the key. I haven't done the math yet exactly to see how that works, but that may be the swing man, whether they make a decision with Myers that has him be the extra reliever, and then you're right, they would go with eight. Because when it comes to the bench guys, they've got more flexibility. They could send O'Neill down. They could send Munoz down. I just don't think they should do either of those things. And so I think if I were doing it myself, bench-wise, I would look at O'Neill, backup catcher, probably going to be Weeters, who, by the way, can bat from the left side. Not that that's going to make a huge difference because you're probably not going to burn your backup catcher very often, but that is something that could be looked at. So who did I say? O'Neill, Weeters, Munoz, Jose Martinez, and whom I forget? Is that the
Jose
spot?
Martinez, Munoz, O'Neill,
and Weeters.
Well, if you're going to add another one, then I guess it is Drew Robinson.
So it could be another one. Here's
the Jed Jerko thing.
Right, so Jerko is going to be that guy, but we're going to have to find somebody else for the first couple of weeks of the season because I think let's just assume that Jerko is not going to be there. Would it be insane? Would it be insane to just give the spot to Tommy Edman, who's a switch hitter anyway, and has actually performed in spring?
The problem is you already have to clear one spot on the 40-man from Weeters. So who's that going to be?
Right. So that could be
and you know how they are with that 40-man, right? You know, this depth, we just can't, and it's like depth. Describe depth to me. Tyler Webb is not depth.
Yeah. He's not. I mean, I think what should happen is
Brett Cecil's not depth.
Right. Just put Brett Cecil on the 60-day injured list because you know he's gonna be out for that long anyway. Clear a spot that way. Maybe cut ties with Gregerson. I mean, I think it should be done. I agree with you, though. Past history tells us it might not be done. It might not be done the way that we want it to be done.
But they're at a crossroad, though. Now, let me say this. I agree 100% with you, except for one thing. I'm going to disagree. I don't think there's any way they don't leave camp with eight. They play 5 days in a row to start the season. There's no way. No way they don't go with four bench and eight bullpen. No way.
It'll be interesting. You could absolutely be right.
You're going to go into that band box for the first four games of the season with one less reliever than what you are comfortable. Let's face it. They like that extra reliever. They do. They love it.
So here's the thing. What's the date today? It's like, the 20th? And so
today's the 20th.
Next Wednesday will be the day before the season starts. We'll probably already know the roster by then. So I don't know if you want to try to do this now or if you had it planned for next week, but trying to figure out who some of the bullpen guys might be too while we're here. I don't know how much time you have before Mo's, but I'm trying
to. We have some time, but I mean, you know, I think you covered it pretty well. Number one, no way Gregerson's on this roster.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm assuming you'll put him on IL.
Yeah. Right?
No way Cecil is IL. I agree with you. If they don't have the cojones to just cut him now, they'll put him on the 60-day because they're going to need the roster spot.
I just don't think they'll be able to do it, though. That's my concern is they won't feel strongly enough that it's going to take that long. I think that's what they should do. I don't care how injured he is. Put him there.
So
but
to your point, and I like where you went with this, we talked about Tommy Edman. If anybody deserves to make the team as that guy that kind of makes it and has earned it.
One of the only guys who has hit all spring. I mean, well, nobody else is hitting.
Right. Versatile guy, can run a little bit, can do some stuff for you, is a switch hitter and does hit from the left side. So if you want to do that, that would be the surprise guy. Now, since Robinson has options, you can easily send him down. I don't think they would do this. Or you could say, you know what, he's proven to be exactly what he was in the major leagues. We're just going to cut ties with him now.
No reason to do that.
I don't think they would do that off the 40 man. So my guess would be, I had said last week, the verbiage was already there that you could see that Brett Cecil was going to start the season on the injured reserve. You could already see that. So if they'll do the 60 man, I don't know. Now, we know they have to cut a 40 man roster spot for.
Leaders.
For the catcher.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals, who have shown lately that they want to take the pass of least resistance, the 60-man DL for Cecil, put Weeders on, and then deal with it later, is the path of least resistance, and then you break camp with who? You break camp with your four guys on the bench, and you break camp with your eight relievers, and off you go.
Well, that's the math I'm trying to do because Chasen Shreve, is he out of options? I think he is.
I don't care. He needs to go by.
Well, that's the thing. But we're talking about what the Cardinals are going to do. I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, so does Tyler Webb.
Right. I think, if Webb is Webb actually out of options? I should know this, but I don't.
I have no idea.
So I don't think he is. But if he were, then that would probably be the guy maybe you could cut. Because, when you look at relief-wise, I was just looking at the stats. None of those lefty relievers are the guys that have been, at the top of the list doing really well. Some of the names that they came in with five lefty relievers. None of those guys are doing that great, but then you've got righty Chris Beck. I know it's not against probably the best competition, but he's only done good things. So it's just, I think it's a frustrating thing for the fan base to see, guys perform in spring. And then the guys that aren't performing is the guys that are already presumed to make the roster. They talked a lot about in spring training when I was down there in February, they talked a lot about the competition being a good thing for the roster. But I think that turns negative if you don't reward those who win that competition. That's kind of why I think Dakota Hudson has got to be the fifth starter. There's no other way about it. And when it comes to this bench, we talked about the competition with that. Who's won the competition but Tommy Edman? So, it may take a little longer than we have here to hash out the numbers of who would have to go, because you've got, Reyes, I think, should probably be in that bullpen. Shreve is probably going to be. Andrew Miller, obviously, going to be. Leon is going to be. Gant's going to probably be if you have Hudson. So you're suddenly running out of room for, even if you went with an extra reliever, you're running out of room. So I think it's going to be – they've got some interesting decisions. I hope they don't go path of least resistance to this situation. I think the 60-day could happen for somebody. An outright release could happen for somebody, and that might be or trade somebody that you don't have room for. I think they've got to make a couple few decisions, and I'm talking myself into liking to see Tommy Edman, because again, if you're going to talk about competition and how valuable that is, as the Cardinals did time and time again this spring, you might as well mean what you say and show that you do by rewarding it. And there's a perfect opportunity to do so with Jerko potentially being out for a little bit to start this season.
I'm not 1,000% sure about Tyler Webb, but because there may be a service time thing in here, because he is 26 years old.
But he's not going to make your roster, is he? I mean,
no,
he's behind Shreve.
He only has 2 years of service time, so that third year would be this year.
Yeah, so there's no way he doesn't have options, I wouldn't think.
He should have an option. I know there's something about service time in there. I could be wrong. It's got something to do with X amount of years. If he was drafted, if he signed in 2013.
I'm trying to pull it up on roster resource.
There's something about – now, the bottom line is he's been in the big leagues for 2 years, exceeded his rookie limit last year. So, therefore, I would imagine that this would be his third year, which would of ups and downs, which would allow him a service time, because my guess would be is that he went down at some juncture last year as well as his first year in 2017. So that would be my guess. That being said, I got to be honest with you. I don't care.
I think that's what it boils down to.
I really don't care. I think he's – sorry. Bye.
Which would make things easier if they did, right? If they had to clear a 40-man
sure
spot.
Would.
Not that he's – I don't even know what his numbers have been, but I don't know that we're counting on him to be, you know, electric when it comes to being the difference maker in the Cardinals bullpen at any point in time. He's been four ERA in spring, so not great, but not terrible. It's just what he's been, you know.
We're talking about a guy that was cut by San Diego. So, come on. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, let's quit the bullshit, okay? I said it to Kyle Reese. I'll say it to you. We're the St. Louis Cardinals. Why are we playing with trash? Why are we picking up trash and calling it something better than that? I don't know. Like, once again, we had needs. And I'm not saying we didn't go out and do something. We did. Paul Goldschmidt is great. I love the Andrew Miller signing. Even if it doesn't work, I loved it. Okay? He was a dominant pitcher as recently as just over a year ago. And if it was health-related, okay, then you went out and you got yourself a dude. If he's lost it, at least you tried. Okay? It isn't like there were so many fantastic options out there that you could say, I'll bet my house on this one, right? So at least you tried. But what you didn't do was follow that up with a couple of more moves that would have said, you know what, we truly are going to put aside the past of least resistance with roster spots and quote-unquote depth, and we're going to go get some guys that can really play. And that pisses me off as a fan. I'm sorry, but it does. You know, there was a couple more left-handed relievers out there that are better than Chasen Shreve and Tyler Webb.
Yeah, but Chasen Shreve and Tyler Webb especially, I don't know that those guys are even going to factor in. Like, Shreve probably will to start the year, and I know that's the kind of path of least resistance move that we've talked about not liking. I think Shreve can end up being fine as their second best lefty in that bullpen. But yeah, if you don't go with eight, looking at the numbers now, there are going to be some non-Cardinals decisions that are going to have to be made about guys on the roster, just because of not having the options there to pass around between Gant, Shreve, and Mike Myers. And then you've got Reyes, you've got Jordan Hicks, you've got Andrew Miller, you've got probably nine or maybe even 10 guys that you could foresee trying to fit into that bullpen, and it's just not going to work. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, and I'm glad that we're finally going to get to figure it out and know the answer, and then be able to talk about some real games.
Well, and let me say this. I want to be clear here. If Chasen Shreve is on the lineup, I hope he comes out and shows me and everybody else that he can do this job. I want to be completely – if Drew Robinson's on this team, I hope he comes out and is a great story. Because I don't want to be right. I don't – like, I don't even think that I know so much that I am right. I'm just telling you what I see. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sooner or later, the St. Louis Cardinals got to get some guys that can really play. I'm tired of maybe they can play. We got a lot of that going on right now, a lot of it. And for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years, I don't know how anybody feels that great about this.
Are you worried about the offense? Are you worried about nobody hitting in spring? Does that matter to you? Or are you just waiting and seeing?
I'm not as worried. It's a great topic, okay? But I'm going to be real honest with you and tell you that my baseballness, for lack of a better word, tells me that I see things in spring training that, like, I don't want to be right about. But, like, I have, like, listen, I don't understand. And I want to believe. I want to believe in Paul DeJong. I want to. I want to. Okay, but I'm not giving him anything. Like, people are just assuming that this guy's going to hit 30 home runs and hit 280, 270. I'm not going to give that to you. Okay, I'm not just going to assume that Dexter Fowler, because his manager quote believes in him, is going to hit 260, 270 and get on base at a 350 clip. I'm not. I don't believe that. I would not bet anything I have that Harrison Bader's going to hit at the big league level. I wouldn't.
We sound pretty optimistic about the season, Jim.
Listen, there's only a couple guys on this team that I would bet anything on. But I also understand a little bit that that's kind of how baseball works. But God darn it, folks. If everybody wants to talk about the last few years and all this kind of stuff, man, take it back to 2011 and before and look at what you had. What you had were a bunch of guys you hung your hat on, and then you sprinkled in the guys that I'm talking about. Right now, let's go down the list, Brennan. We're counting on Harrison Bader. Okay, everybody's got him in there as the everyday starting center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. We are counting on him. This isn't a maybe. We are counting on him. We are 100% counting on Paul DeJong. He has got to do well. He has to. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is no backup plan. I'm sorry. There is no backup plan. Those are key spots for this team. Key spots. And right field for most teams is a position you put a guy out there and you get some thump out of him. You get some production out of him. Can you live with a guy out there that hits 210, 220 and gets on base at a 310 clip with hardly any power and can't play defense? You're the St. Louis Cardinals. Are you kidding me? Now again,
hey, those numbers for Fowler would be better than he did last year. So that's improvement,
baby.
That's improvement.
Listen, if Dexter Fowler hit 260 and got on base at a 340, 350 clip and could just go get the balls he needs to get, I'd take it right now. I'd take it and run. I just don't know how you get much more from him than that. And I say that because I don't have any evidence to suggest otherwise. I mean, I see people wanting to bat Harrison Bader in the top of the lineup, and I just scratch my head and say, that's a blind wish and want. You know, you are going to sit one of your really arguably one of your best at bats is going to be sitting on the bench to start the season. Let's be frank, right? Am I crazy? Jose Martinez is sitting this bench while there's a whole bunch of guys going to start that can't hit, in my opinion.
And Tyler O'Neill's hitting under 200, but he's slugging near 600. So that's still more than you're going to see from
than you have seen from some
of these guys. So I get that.
Your Joey Gallo stat, right?
Like, yeah.
I know that the batting average sucks, but man, when you are doing something, at least you're producing, right?
Yeah.
Who would you rather have, a guy that hits 240 that doesn't with no production, or a guy that hits 200 with a ton of production? I mean, it's the whole new age of stats, right? So, I don't know, man. Like I said, I know I took this to a Debbie Downer place, and it's not like, listen, I love the Cardinals, and it sounds sometimes like I don't, but God darn it, I am disappointed in my franchise, just to be quite frank. And I hope they prove me wrong. I love this. This would not be the first time I've been wrong. I'm wrong a lot, as we all are. Let's be honest, right? It's because you don't know. Guys that you think are going to be terrible are good. Guys that you are counting on are bad. The game is really, really tough. But, man, I just look at the roster construction of the teams that when we went on that basic 15-year run where even if we didn't make the playoffs, we had a good team and things just kind of doing south. But for the most part, at least most years we were in it or years we made runs or whatever. And you look at the roster construction of those teams, and this roster doesn't mirror those. It just doesn't. And I'm talking about the way it's constructed. I'm no disrespect to some of the players. I'm talking about the way it's constructed. You put Colton Wong, you put Harrison Bader on those teams where they can be the John Jay, where they can be the Daniel Descalzo, where they can be those guys, the Alan Craigs, the guys that get added to lineups that have guys in it that you hang your hat on. And then those guys get to thrive at being who they are. But when you look at these other guys and go, hey, you got to be a dude. Well, I think you're in a little bit of trouble, and that's just my opinion.
It's good stuff. I like that you got all that off your chest.
I do. I feel better. That's why I moved you into the two-hole.
Yep.
I moved you into the two-hole today because you can handle the bat. So let's finish with this. It sounds to me like you really believe that Robinson comes north with the club because you think they're going to go with five guys off the bench.
Yeah, I would not be too surprised. What I think should happen if they do bring that fifth guy is go ahead and clear some things out on the 40-man like we kind of always are asking to do, and bring Tommy Edman with you. Reward competition, reward thriving in that competition the way that you said you would. That's what I would do.
I would agree with that. I think it is healthy to reward competition. I think the way you phrase that is perfect. because in all honesty, you could look at the outfield competition and really you could be out there going, well, Jim, I hear you. And I know you're anti-Dexter Fowler, but as he didn't do well, but really who did in the outfield, right? I mean, let's be frank, except for your, to your point, the slugging of Tyler O'Neill, our outfield really has done nothing
right
this preseason.
Yep.
So that being said, you could say, well, you know, but if you're going to say that it's a competition, right? And you could look all of them guys in the eye that might have been vying for that starting spot and say, well, none of you did anything to make us think we shouldn't at least give Dex a shot, right? You could
right.
say that and,
yep.
and be and not lie. To your point, I love the whole thing of bringing Tommy Edman forward to send a message to everybody of show up ready to compete for spring training because it does matter.
And I think in fairness, there really wasn't a competition for the outfield starting spots. There wasn't. And I don't know that they
so
ever
either.
Pretended
yeah.
that there was. It was going to be Ozuna, Bader, and Fowler. Now, how long we can go into April with that if none of them are performing? Like, we haven't seen Ozuna do anything yet. We haven't seen Fowler. And you mentioned your concerns with Bader at the plate. So if you've got guys taking good at-bats like O'Neill and J-Mart off the bench, we'll see how long they can roll with that because there's going to be some clamoring right off the bat if it doesn't start well. You know that's going to be the case, and it's not going to be unfounded because it's going to be based on a lot of things that we saw last year with Fowler in particular and even with Ozuna not performing up to expectations.
I will say this about Harrison Bader. He's a guy that although I don't like his swing personally, but people are like, well, who the hell are you? He is a guy that tends to get it done a little bit, if I want to use that term, like comes through a little bit.
Yeah, and I like that.
So
I believe that
about him.
Yeah, I'm on
like
board with Bader
him.
Just because I think his defense can play too. But in fairness, if you've got a guy that you're going to concede a little bit offensively in center field, you have to have the corner outfield spots be mashers.
Correct.
And I don't know
Absolutely.
If they're going to be those guys. That's where it goes back to the construction of the roster. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Do not mistake what I'm saying. I like Harrison Bader. Like, I love him in center field for this baseball team. But I like him a whole lot better with, you know, I'm just going to throw some names out there. I like him a whole lot better when Matt Holliday's in left field and Carlos Beltran's in right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you'd like him better if Dexter Fowler was Dexter Fowler of 2017 and Marcelo
sure.
Zuna was the same. And so that's where
sure.
that's
right.
where it's going to be the rubber's going to meet the road on whether or not that's going to take place, and it's going to all filter down. What are the guys that you're counting on in that cleanup spot, in that two-hole? What do those guys do, and how does that filter down? Because if they perform, you're gonna see pressure off of a Colton Wong and a Harrison Bader, and those guys are gonna probably thrive because of it, because it's gonna be a winning environment, and it's just gonna make everybody better. So, yeah, I think in DeJong, you can throw him in that category too. Guys they're really counting on: Ozuna, DeJong, Fowler. What happens if that trio doesn't meet expectations is going to be very interesting to watch.
We shall see. We shall see. Well, my friend, I appreciate your thoughts and comments, and thanks for stepping up in the two-hole this week. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about what you do.
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter, as always, at bshafer12, and with KMOV, kmov.com in the sports section. But also the Baseball STL app will become more valuable as the season begins because you'll get those live updates as the games are going. So definitely check out Baseball STL.
Well, my friend, I appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you next week as we prepare for opening day. And we'll have some answers by next week on the roster. I am sure of that.
Can't wait to talk about it. Talk to you then.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. And again, like I said, it was some great content. My apologies to Kyle Reese. My apologies to Mo's Algorithm and all the people that enjoy hearing from them guys each week. But hopefully next week we'll have some of the bugs worked out in our temporary studio as the IT guys and the tech guys get up and running in here and get all the new stuff put in. But I look forward to that conversation next week, and I do apologize to all those guys' fans who, you know, tune in and expect to hear from them. But I do appreciate Brennan and modern technology recording his phone call and mine. I'm going to have to talk to Brennan about that because I think that might be illegal. I think maybe he has to tell me it's being recorded. I think there's something to that, but we'll see. But in this instance, I'm glad he did it. So at least we had some Cardinal talk out. We were able to release the winner of our contest, and I do want to thank one more time lineupmedia.fm for their support on that. The guys from Yo Radio provided the tickets. It's the newest streaming platform that's available for download on your mobile device. It is free. You guys will enjoy it. Make sure you download that. And again, I can't thank them enough. To all of our partners out there on social media, Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com, Chris Lawless and his Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Thank you guys. You guys run quality sites and you do great stuff for Cardinal baseball and Cardinal fans everywhere. Ron, Gino, Crash, all the gang over at Cardinals on deck, Cards on Deck. Looking forward to doing some stuff with you guys this upcoming season as we are working on a lot of things behind the scenes. You guys do it as good as anybody, as Tony La Russa said, tied for first in my book. Linda and Vicky, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Fans of Yadier Molina, two of the best Facebook groups out there. How about STL Cards, St. Louis Cardinals Crew, two more of my favorites. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinals Freak, been with us for a long time. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, and of course, all the wonderful people out there that just do what they do so that they can enjoy Cardinal baseball. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.